sure, either Obi's got to get shorter or I've got to grow a few inches. It's the same every week. Let's take out our Bibles and turn over to the book of Ephesians. It's great to be with you all this Sunday morning. Last week I was in the south and I was preaching down there. And a couple of weeks ago I was supposed to be preaching in the east, but I lost my voice entirely. And on the Saturday I couldn't speak at all. On the Sunday I could barely whisper. And I'm really grateful to Martin, who stepped up to preach and did an excellent job. And on very short notice, I might add, literally just the day before. And so I really appreciate him stepping into the gap. And he's going to be preaching again next week, in fact. And so that's a very encouraging. Last Sunday, it was great to have OJ over here from the West. I heard he did a great job. And I've heard that some people have already said we want to invite him back again. So I told him that, and he was very happy, and so he said he would come again at some point in the future. But you know, it's as Andy shared at the beginning, many of us are going to be going on holiday this week, our family included. But Julie and I, we had an opportunity just this week gone to just get 2 days away by ourselves, just the two of us, without the children. And because Caleb was in the preteen camp, Hannah was helping out at preteen camp, Sarah was off doing her work somewhere, and so we were able to escape. And this is the first time we've been away, just the two of us, without the children, since this time last year, when we had preteen camp last year. And it was just so encouraging just to get that time. I mean, we love our children. But there's something about being away from your kids for a short while. It's like a bit of a breather. And it was very encouraging. You know, we didn't go very far. I went down to Guildford in Surrey. We had this Groupon coupon deal where, you know, you can get 2 nights away in this really nice stately home, breakfast included for £89 for 2 nights, and it was fantastic. And when we got there, the room they put us in was actually, it was quite small. And then I thought to myself, wow, you get what you pay for, don't you? And I looked out the window, and it was a car park. And I thought, wow, this is a nice hotel set in these nice grounds. I thought, we're going to be here for the next 2 days. I thought, it's a little bit pokey. And so I rang up the reception, and I said, excuse me, is there any chance you can move us to a different room, a room with a view? And so the reception said, hold on a second, a few minutes, hold on a second, with you in a minute. Came back and says, okay, there is another room available. And so they moved us, and we went to a room on the top of this hotel, and and it had a really lovely view, and it was about twice the size of the room we had before. It had its own sofa in there, a little suite there, and it was just, oh, it's fantastic. And I thought, wow, if you don't ask, you don't receive. But you know, it's interesting because it was a nice hotel, and it's a nice place, and for the money we were paying, I should have been happy. But you know, it's amazing how it's so easy to focus on the things that make you unhappy, rather than the things that make you happy. You know, we sang the song Blue Skies and Rainbows, and yet when the sun is shining, it's easy to sing that kind of a song with great zeal and gusto. And we can sing, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and we're happy to do that when things are going well. But what about when things are not going so well? What about when you're living under a cloud? What about when life is getting on top of you and the storms are on the horizon? How much zeal do we have for letting our light shine under those circumstances? And I was giving some thought to this as I was thinking about what to share this Sunday. I actually had a sermon prepared for 2 weeks ago that I wanted to do, and I thought about doing that this Sunday, but then I thought a lot of people are away, so I'll wait until after the holidays when most people are back. But this week, because I was thinking about our vacation, and I was thinking about going away, I was thinking, what is it like for us as Christians when we're away from the church? It's so easy when you're on vacation to also take a vacation from God. And it's so easy for us to just to lose perspective when things aren't going our way, or when life gets challenging. And so today I wanted to talk about three things. And the first thing was, the first point was, don't be a fair weather Christian. The second point was, don't forget your dead. And the third point is, don't forsake your mission. You know, in Ephesians, I've been studying that book of Ephesians recently, and the reason I've been studying that Ephesians is because this week, our family holiday, we're going to be going to Turkey. And Ephesus is in the western part of Turkey, and I had a chance to visit the old city of Ephesus a number of years ago. I think it was 2007, along with Barry and Paul, and I don't think Andy with us, I can't remember. But we had a chance to go and look at some of the archaeological remains and all of that stuff, and I thought we might have the chance to go and visit again this for our holiday, but we decided to cancel that. But I was reading up on Ephesians, and I was reminded about what Paul was like during difficult times. Let me just read to you some scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. In chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, you can carry on going through the book, but you get the picture that Paul is a thankful person. He's grateful for the blessings in Christ, that he's happy about life. But then you remember that when he wrote this letter, he was writing from prison. And he wrote this letter around the same time as Colossians and Philippians, and all those letters were written, in fact they're called the prison epistles, and he wrote all of those in while he was in chains. And as you read through some of those letters, you know, in Philippians 1 he talks about, I always pray with joy, in verse 4, in chapter 1 verse 18 he says I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. In Philippians 2:2 he talks about making his joy complete. And in chapter 2 and verse 17, he talks about, I'm glad and rejoice of all of you. You should be glad and rejoice with me. And, you know, Philippians 3:1, he talks about rejoice in the Lord. And Philippians 4:1, he says, I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord. And Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And it goes on and on and on. And Colossians is the same. Paul was able to be joyful even in the most challenging and difficult of circumstances. He talks about knowing the secret of being content. He talks about praying continually with thanksgiving. He talks about always going to God with thanks. And it comes across even when he's under a storm cloud. But his joy, his light shines. And I thought about us. I thought about, you know, what am I like when things don't always go my way? What am I like, for example, when I get a ticket on my car? Which I did recently. 3 times. We were at church for the Spiritual Enrichment Weekend, a time of incredible encouragement, and I came out that Sunday morning and my car had gone. It wasn't just a ticket, they towed it away. And I parked on a singular line, and I remember I parked in front of Olive, and she'd moved her car back for me, so I moved my car slightly forward. I didn't realise I'd gone slightly over into a handicap bay. And so when I came out, they'd taken my car. And I was supposed to be going to study the Bible with someone, and oh gosh, we had an encouraging time at the Spiritual Enrichment Weekend, and then I came out and I was feeling like spiritually unencouraged as I went to pick up my car, and they wanted to charge me £265. £65 for parking over a handicap bay, £200 for the privilege of having my car towed. And I thought, oh, that's horrible. You know, it's interesting, because then we had a staff meeting that week, and I got with Mohan and with Barry and some of the other brothers, Adrian Hill, and I shared about getting my car towed. And Barry said, you know, I got a ticket as well. And Mohan said, I got a ticket too. And Adrian said, I just got a bill to fix my car for over £3,000. And all of a sudden, I felt more encouraged. And it's funny how that works, isn't it? That's why it's good to be open and share our struggles and our weaknesses, because we can encourage one another. And we know the whole point of being of our Christianity is that even when things don't go our way, that we should be rejoicing, that we should be living life with zeal and gusto and excitement, even when there are challenges in our life. Oh, I want to show you a video clip. It's of a kid by the name of Jason McElwain, who suffers with autism, but he had a passion for basketball, and he used to go along to his high school basketball practices, although he was never allowed to actually play, the coach really appreciated his commitment and his reliability, and so he made him an honorary assistant student coach for the school basketball team. And so he was there all the time, just helping out. And then the final game of the season, the coach said, you know what, I'm going to put him in so he can play. And so the last few minutes of the game, they allowed him to get on the court and to actually play. And let me just show you, this is all taking place in the last 4 minutes of the game.
Jason McElwain was in practice today doing what he does every day. As a student assistant, he helps out the team. But all that changed on Wednesday night. Batman coach Jim Johnson decided to give Jason his shot to suit up and play. He said, this is your senior program, Mr. Lash. Best chance to ever get college scores or extra matches for that night. Jason, or J-Mac as he is known, is medically diagnosed as highly functioning autistic. He's also loved by his teammates and fellow students. That's why the game began with his face on signs. And when he entered the game, they went crazy. My emotions started running wild. I had to shut down. And I started to tear up and say, oh my God, this is destiny. Jason got in the game, took a pass, and took a shot. He missed that. First possession, he hit the ball, he took an air ball. He missed it up by 6 feet. I put my hands in my head and all three balls, this kid was nasty. 1 minute later, he got his proof. A three-pointer that set the gym on fire.
I'm very excited. The team is excited. Everybody else is excited.
But J-Mac wasn't done. He kept shooting and kept hitting. Another three. And another three. The crowd stormed the court and put Jason on their shoulders.
It was one of those special moments that as a athletic director, if I retire today, this would be the one thing I talked about forever.
Jason's playing career is done, but his celebrity continues at school.
Everybody was saying congratulations.
He actually left school and went on to write a book, just talked about living your dream was the title of his book. But you know, as Christians, we can't be fair weather Christians. We've got to let our light shine, whether it's sunny or raining outside, whether we're going through the storms or whether it's plain sailing. The fact is, we have got to live our life rejoicing, just as Paul did. But turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Because second point is simply, don't forget you're dead. In Galatians 2, and we know the verse, in verse 20, in fact, actually, we're going to pick up slightly earlier in verse 15. Paul says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. The verse that we're all very familiar with, in verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. The word in the Greek for crucified with is susthoroo. And it can literally mean to impale in company with or to be co-crucified. So when Jesus was crucified on the cross, he says that we were co-crucified with him. Now that verb is only used 5 times in the New Testament. 3 of those are in the Gospels, where it talks about the thieves being crucified with alongside the Christ. John 19, for example. But the other 2 times, this is one of them, and the other passage is in Romans chapter 6. Look over there in Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, and let's pick up there in verse 3. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. He says in verse 6, our old self was crucified with him, that we were co-crucified with Christ. That when we join Jesus in the waters of baptism, that our old self is literally crucified. And so in Galatians 2, when he says we've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, he's talking about a new life we've begun. And sometimes we forget that we've begun a new life. And we go back to our old life. And old habits creep in. Remember the context. In Galatians, Paul was writing to the church there, and he was reminding them that their salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. That it's not by works. He goes on to say in chapter 3 that if after beginning with faith, are you now going to try and obtain righteousness by the law or by works? He says no. It's everything that we have as Christians, it's as a result of Jesus' death. That means that even when we stumble, and even when we sin, and even when we fall short, we are covered by God's grace. We've been crucified with Christ. It's Christ's death that pays the price for our salvation. It's Christ's death that earns us our place in heaven, not our works. We don't share our faith, and we don't give our contribution, and we don't love our enemies so that we can go to heaven. We put our faith in Christ so we can go to heaven. It's Jesus' death, and that's what he's saying there. But, along with that, he says that as part of Jesus' death, our old life was also put to death. Which means that we can no longer continue in sin. Which means that we can no longer live to please our sinful desires and our sinful nature. He goes on to say in Galatians 5, he talks about the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, but he says that we died to those. And so, although we don't do good deeds to make it to heaven, we do good deeds because we are on our way to heaven. Because of what Jesus has done, because of his grace, because of what he's done. And Romans 6, he emphasizes the same thing as well. That we've been crucified with Christ at the point of baptism, and that's when we gain our new life. But then he goes on to say that in verse 6, that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we no longer live to please our sinful nature and all that entails. That means our focus now is not on pleasing ourselves, but it's on pleasing God. That we turn away from sin. That we're open about our struggles. Even as Andy prayed, that when it comes to the hot weather, we're struggling with lustful thoughts, we confess those. Because we've been crucified with Christ, we've died to those things. And we have to remember that. Don't forget that you are dead. Don't forget that your old self is dead, that now you live a new life. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that the old has gone, the new has come. How are we doing? Because you see, whenever we go away on a holiday, it's easy to forget our life in Christ and to drift back into bad habits, into patterns. I was like this. When I became a Christian, at the age of 16, whenever I was around other Christians, it was easy for me to live a life that consistent with my faith. But every time I went back to boarding school and I was away from the church and I was surrounded by my old lifestyle and my old friends, I would gradually start to slip back into old habits. And then every holidays, every vacation, I'd come back to London, I'd be around the Christians and I'd confess my sin, I'd be open. And you know what? There's this pattern of just drifting away whenever I was not in contact with Christians. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 3:12 that we need to see to it that none of us has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but we encourage one another daily. We need relationships to help us stay on the right path. Don't forget that you are dead. Don't allow your old self to be a zombie and crawl out of the grave. Don't do that. Instead, remember you are a new creation in Christ and you need to be living a life that's exemplary. When the Bible says we should let our light shine, that's what it's talking about. There's a poem I wanted to share with you. It says, when you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator and I immediately wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat and I learned that it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favourite cake for me and I learned that the little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer and I knew there was a God I could always talk to and I learned to trust in God. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who is sick and I learned that we all have to take care of each other. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give of your time and money to help people who had nothing, and I learned that those who have something should give to those who don't. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of our house and everyone in it, and I learned we have to take care of what we are given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw how you handled your responsibilities, even when you didn't feel well, and I learned that I have to be responsible when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes. And I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you cared and I wanted to be be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I learned most of life's lessons that I need to know to be a good and productive person when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked at you and wanted to say, thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. Someone's always looking. And how we live our life will determine what they learn from us. Our children especially, they see us. And I want to encourage us, whether we're at home or away, whether we're on holiday or around, let's live the kind of life that we are called to live. To please God. Don't forget you're dead. Be an example. And my final point, don't forsake your mission. I'm going to save that for another time. But I do want to encourage us to have the attitude of, let's give God our best. Let's not give him our leftovers. When it comes to our contribution, let's not give our leftovers. When it comes to our Bible study and our prayer life, let's not give him our leftovers. When it comes to our evangelism and sharing and reaching out and follow up on people that we've met or even just meeting new people, let's not give God our leftovers. God has given us everything. I'm going to leave you with one final clip. And as we get ready to show this clip, I just want to encourage you that even if you're going through the hard times, that you need to put we need to put our faith in God. There's something I heard recently that eagles know when a storm is approaching, even long before it arrives. And so what they'll do is they'll fly to some high spot and wait for the winds to come. And when the storm hits, the eagles, they soar into the air and they set their wings so the wind will pick them up and lift them over the storm. And so while the storms are raging below, the eagles are soaring above. And the eagles, they don't escape the storms, they simply use the storms to lift themselves higher. And they actually rise on the winds of the storm. And that's the way it can be in our lives, that storms will come our way, but if we allow God to lift us up, then we can soar above them and not have to struggle through them. Let's just close out with this last video clip.
Forget the interest. He brought the pie.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Again, it was one of those sermons that's always, I think, helpful to really examine ourselves. I know in the last scene there, sadly, I think the last guy looked like Kevin Cundale, which was... I keep thinking of Kevin, I don't know why, but... Sorry, Kev. But as Mike shared, and I think it's... and as you know, we all have an incredible... opportunity by God's grace and power to be together, to encourage one another. And it's true about just the need for us to be encouraged and to get encouragement from one another. We, as Mike said, going on holiday, it's easy just to drift. And it's hard to tell my wife, I say, hang on, I've got a whole day here to myself. Why is it so hard to have a quiet time when I've got a whole day free? And I did ask, I said, why is it hard? Why? And I kind of beat myself at this point. I couldn't figure it out myself. I said, why? I've got a whole day for myself and I'm struggling to have a quiet time. If someone has the answer to that question, please let me know. But it just shows what the human nature is like. It was great to be with my wife. We did have great times together. We did have quiet times. But even just however strong or encouraged you may feel, stay close to God. Be encouraged. Phone people up. Use email. Keep in touch. Don't disappear. If you do go on holiday, it's always important for us to do that. But also, just as the last scene made it quite clear, is sadly that probably is true for a lot of people, where God is squeezed out, and we laugh at it, we think it's funny, and then we go off and do our week and forget it. Let me encourage us to remember the scene. Look at God's face every morning. Remember God's face there, okay? What are you doing for God? What are you doing for me? And let's remember that. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks for the sermon. Amen. Before we sing a final song, I'd just like to ask Yvonne to stand. Yvonne is visiting from the Lagos Church. Let's welcome Yvonne to the East. Where is Yvonne? Welcome to the East. Let's reach out to Yvonne during the time of sharing. Let's all stand as we sing a final song.